You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Unless you've been living under a rock, you've most likely heard about the Walmart Flipkart deal. Well, even if you are, you probably will hear of it because no stone larger than a pebble is left unquarried in India. It's a vast right-wing conspiracy to kill the stone pelting industry in India, I say. But yes, back to Walmart and Flipkart. We've spoken about this mega deal before as well. Walmart is likely to acquire a 51 stake in Flipkart and through the sale of shares by other investors as well, maybe even over 80%. Unless SoftBank springs a surprise, Flipkart as we know it may never be the same again. Walmart and Amazon, who lost out in the other big market that is not America, meaning China, are duking it out to control the retail space in India. Why? Because online retail in India is expected to touch $200 billion in value by 2020. As we discuss these large numbers that just whoosh over my head, I'm going to give voice to a question that is on every consumer's mind. Will Flipkart still have the big billion day sale? Or should we just buy everything this year? Well, Mitron, we don't know just as yet, but I expect we'll hear about it soon enough. But today, as India's most recognizable online brand looks set to be subsumed into one of the giants playing the great game of global retail wars, let's take a look at the Flipkart story and how two boys in Koramangala in Bengaluru blazed a trail that would inspire so many others. And that's not even an exaggeration. It really did start in Koramangala, before it became the traffic-friendly utopia it is today. But the founders of Flipkart did inspire so many other startups way before my favorite business term from a sea of delightful jargon went mainstream. Unicorn. Flipkart is a unicorn story that every Indian entrepreneur hopes to emulate in some form. So, let's start at the beginning.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Billion Dollar Babies Payout. The Flipkart Story. A Money Control exclusive.
Sachin Bansal and Benny Bansal. Not related, as many news articles will tell you. These two young men in their 20s and just out of IIT met and hit it off on a business idea. They decided to sell books online, and in October 2007, Flipkart was born. Recalling the start, Sachin Bansal had said, and we quote him, "The idea itself is not new. The genesis of thought to set up Flipkart came from the bad quality service provided by competitors. Our business opportunity was to do better than our competition in terms of service. Hence, our main mission was to focus on customer service. We had to choose a category that could facilitate getting started quickly. The low transaction size helped induce customer trials. With our strong technology background, we could keep the initial costs low." Unquote. But first, a quick look at their antecedents. So Sachin and Benny Bansal, not related, both from Chandigarh, both went to IIT Delhi, both did time at Amazon and hit upon the idea for Flipkart. Initial investment amount, 4 lakh rupees. That's approximately $6,000. But they weren't really looking at creating another Amazon. Their inspiration lay eastwards. Sachin Bansal had always maintained that he saw Flipkart as an Indian Alibaba rather than an Indian Amazon. Looking back in 2014, he said, and we quote him, "Yahoo had invested the same amount in Alibaba in 2005. It was the inflection point in China then, exactly where India is today." Unquote. An inspiring aside for those feeling down on their luck, well, Benny Bansal was apparently rejected twice by Google before he joined Amazon. That bittersweet tale could see a nice turnaround with Google's parent company, Alphabet, likely to be roped in by Walmart as part of the Flipkart deal to pick up a $1 billion stake. Because Benny Bansal's company is now valued at $15 billion. That's before Walmart came looking for a passage into India and said something like $20 billion. But yes, back to the story. Flipkart hosts approximately 1 lakh sellers on its platform and has a registered user base of close to 100 million people. It has a catalog of over 80 million products, accounts for over half of India's online smartphone sales, and claims 3/4 of the online fashion market. Not too shabby, huh? Back to the journey. Flipkart's very first order came from Mehboob Nagar in Andhra Pradesh, now Telangana. A web consultant wanted a copy of Leaving Microsoft to Change the World, written by John Wood, who had served as Director of Marketing and Business Development for Microsoft in the APAC region. Sachin Bansal left a Flipkart link on his blog, and soon enough, an order was placed. The customer, VVK Chandra, recollects with a laugh, and we quote him, "It was not an expensive book, just about 500 rupees. I could afford to risk losing that money." Unquote. A cheer went off in one of the two BHKs in Koramangala that served as Flipkart HQ version 1.0. But there was a hitch. Flipkart didn't have a copy of the book. Never a good feeling when your first order from a client is something you don't have. The partners searched all over Bengaluru, even inquired across Delhi and Mumbai, and eventually got their hands on a dog-eared copy in Sapna bookstore. The Bansals wrote to the customer in Mehboob Nagar about the state of the book, and the customer was impressed with their honesty. He recalls, and we quote him, "I thought at least this is a real company. I felt like I could trust them," unquote. A couple of funny goof-ups later, the book was delivered, and Flipkart was off and running. They served 100 customers in their first month, and by customers, we mean more than just friends and family. Now, here's a bit of trivia again. That book now costs 350 rupees on Flipkart, presumably a fresh copy.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
And how's this for a marketing strategy? The founders distributed bookmarks on Church Street in Bengaluru outside Gangaram's bookstore to promote Flipkart. And we quote Sachin Bansal here. He said, "We used to hand over Flipkart bookmarks to the people coming out of the shop. In order to make sure that our targeting was right, we would give bookmarks to only those who were coming out with books in hands, people who've made purchases," unquote. Flipkart has since become more sophisticated and fun with its marketing. You must have seen their TV adverts with the kids who talk in adult voices and all of that. Now, the most interesting part of Flipkart's success is that in 2007-08, they were attempting to win over customers who were new to the online shopping space. Most people were reluctant to conduct financial transactions online at the time. What if that Nigerian prince who used to mail us frequently back then hacked our accounts and stole all our money and all of that? Well, Flipkart was a pioneer in that scenario, building trust for an entire industry and e-commerce at large. And this is where they shone bright amongst a sea of posers and fly-by-night profiteers. Since Flipkart's success was dependent on quick and seamless delivery of their products, they took the plunge and launched their own supply chain management system. It was the first in India to provide the option of cash on delivery, which is now our default choice when we aren't sure of a purchase, but go ahead with it anyway. The Bansals' hard work and persistence led to covering 60% of the domestic e-commerce market and to 50 million customers buying everything from mobile phones to jewelry every day. Sachin Bansal recalls, and we quote him, "When Motorola tied up with Flipkart for the exclusive launch of Moto G in India, they were launching the product in India before the rest of the world. I would count that as an achievement for e-commerce. This would not have happened if there was not an unparalleled access to customers around India," unquote. And this confidence wasn't misplaced. One of the regular stories about Flipkart is selling out of limited sales. For instance, it took 5 seconds to get done with Flipkart's entire inventory of Xiaomi Mi 3 when the booking was opened for the second time for 20,000 phones. Sachin said of this achievement, and we quote him, "This is nothing but the power of e-commerce," unquote. The company's growth drew attention as they approached investors. It received its first funding from Axel Partners in 2009, $1 million, and opened offices in Delhi and Mumbai. At the start of 2009, Flipkart had hired its very first employee, a delivery executive who's now a millionaire. Flipkart also received $10 million in funding from Tiger Global Management. The valuation of the company was reported to be just under $50 million. By the end of the year, the company had 150 employees.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Billion Dollar Babies Payout, The Flipkart Story, a Money Control exclusive.
In 2010, Flipkart launched its logistics arm, eCart. This would prove a game changer. The lower profile Bini Bansal seems to prefer adventure sports over the limelight. Speaking of their working relationship that was leading to more and more success, Bini once told the Economic Times that they worked through the ups and downs by, and we quote him here, "fighting every day," unquote. By 2011, Flipkart had introduced electronics, mobile phones, video games, movies and music to its inventory and was delivering to 600 towns and cities across India. This was a year Flipkart became the de facto online store. Any purchase anyone made on a computer in India inevitably included a visit to Flipkart. We were now getting habituated to the excellent delivery service that distinguished Flipkart from all other online retailers who struggled to compete with Flipkart's efficiency. Around this time, the company again raised $20 million from old investors Tiger Global. The fast-growing company also discussed funding with private equity funds like General Atlantic. This period marked an important milestone. Flipkart was valued at over $1 billion by the end of the financial year 2011-12. This period also saw Flipkart's first real blip happen. Flipkart acquired a startup named Mime 360 and rejigged it for its own music business, Flight. The music venture was launched in 2012 and bombed. It was shut down just over a year later. According to some reports, revenues from song downloads were fairly low, clocking less than 50% of the minimum guarantee amount, which was rumored to be around 2 to 3 crore rupees. The average revenue per user, or ARPU, was between 9 and 12 rupees per user, making it difficult to justify the minimum guarantee or any significant customer acquisition costs. Estimates say that listener interest dropped by over 45% within a year and the business became untenable. All things considered, Flipkart was now a big deal, despite some premature obituaries in the market and the media. LiveMint reported that the company's revenues for FY12-13 stood at 1,366 crores. That's a growth of 500%. Flipkart's total loss in that year was 281.7 crore rupees.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
2013 was an important year for Flipkart. Its Bethanoa, Amazon, finally entered the Indian market. Okay, Bethanoa literally means black beast, so it's probably pretty colorist, but then Amazon's logo is black in color. In any case, the retail wars were now on in full swing. Amazon just had a larger range, deeper pockets, and could absorb losses for longer. So, the Bansal duo, up against their old employer, had to think of something before they ended up on the death by Amazon list. Yeah, there is a real list of businesses around the world that ended when Amazon showed up on their shores. Anyway, Flipkart would now go on an acquisition spree as well as launch private labels to compete with Amazon. It acquired the fashion retailer Myntra in 2014. The company then raised $210 million from DST Global, taking its valuation to a cool $2.6 billion. And its electronics appliance business was flourishing after an embarrassing failure at launch. The company learned some hard lessons and had to shut it down just months later as customer experience was adversely affected due to bad delivery, installation and after-sales service. But as per usual, Flipkart learned its lessons and bounced back. It opted for softer launches, piloting with fewer products and smaller customer groups before scaling up. A large part of the credit for the turnaround in appliances goes to Jeeves, an after-sales service company that Flipkart acquired in 2014. An in-house after-sales team helped Flipkart ensure quick turnaround times on the installation of televisions, refrigerators, washing machines, and so on. Most offline stores couldn't compete with Flipkart on this. Installations for store-bought appliances usually happen 24 to 48 hours after a purchase. Let's spend a minute examining one of Flipkart's biggest strengths, logistics. Ekart, its in-house logistics arm, helps the company cater to 90% of its demand internally, covering 6,500 PIN codes. For the record, India has 40,000 PIN codes. To grasp how Flipkart uses logistics as a smart weapon, we need to look at how they manage growth in the sales of large appliances. Unlike mobile phones or apparel, appliances like refrigerators, televisions, and washing machines are bulky and can suffer damage in transit. Ekart built an entire supply chain infrastructure for large appliances with dedicated warehouses and staff. Flipkart can offer one-day delivery on over 70% of large appliances from its dedicated warehouses. 2014 also saw a massive fund infusion for Flipkart. A $1 billion funding from GIC Singapore and existing backers like Naspers, DST Global and Tiger Global pushed the company's valuation to a stunning $7 billion within a span of a few months. Some more funding and valuation climbed to $11 billion. Flipkart acquired fashion e-tailer Myntra for $300 million and then bought Myntra's competitor Jabong for $70 million. The results of all this frenetic activity would be there for all to see the following year.
The Deep Dive Podcast Series. Billion Dollar Babies Payout, The Flipkart Story, a Money Control Exclusive.
2015 was another big year for Flipkart. The big Billion Day Sale, what might well be Indian online retail's equivalent of the Black Friday sale in the US, was a major success for Flipkart. Investors thought otherwise, but Flipkart became a firm favorite. The company sold merchandise worth $200 million in just 3 days. They broke their own record in 2016 when total sales clocked $225 million in 3 days. Here are some more numbers. The number of shoes sold during the Big Billion Day sale in 2016 was more than the total shoes sold by all brands in India in a single day. Within 36 hours, Flipkart sold more TV sets than the total number of TVs sold by top retailers nationwide. Flipkart now had a market share of 45%, far above competitors like Amazon and Snapdeal. Flipkart's friendly rival Amazon was forced to have a large annual sale of its own just to stay in the reckoning. Flipkart was now in the big league, as were its founders. Media reports estimated that the Bansals were nearly as rich as Infosys co-founder Narayan Murthy, as their 15% stake in Flipkart was valued at approximately 6,000 crore rupees. That's not a bad payday for two guys sitting in Koramangala. Well, actually, they did move into a bigger office, but in a nice touch, retain the old, smaller office that Flipkart teams sometimes use for brainstorming sessions. Nice guys, the Bansals. In 2016, Time magazine included Sachin and Binny Bansal in their list of 100 most influential people. The boys from Chandigarh were at number 65 on Forbes' list of the wealthiest in India for 2016, with a net worth of $1.24 billion each. That's a pretty heady story. And now comes news of Walmart wanting to acquire a majority stake in Flipkart. Talks are reportedly at a final stage, and Walmart is looking at a bill of anywhere between $8 billion and $12 billion. That's about 53,450 crores to 80,180 crore rupees. There are rumors that Sachin and Binny Bansal are looking at an exit from their creation. Sources told the media, and we quote these sources, Sachin has plans to stay around, but Binny will leave. He might sell his entire stake and exit. Unquote. They each own, by the way, a 5.5% stake in Flipkart. If, going by persistent rumors, the deal value is set at $20 billion, each of the Bansals stands to make $1.1 billion, that's 7,355 crores, if they offload their entire stake. Back in 2010, Binny had said to Factor Daily, and we quote him, "We want to be the largest retailer online and offline in India, and it will be foolish to exit." Unquote. Those were clearly different times. The Bansals were expecting Flipkart sales to cross 100 crore rupees. In 2018, the company's sales by gross merchandise value is expected to be in excess of $6 billion. In the last couple of years, a large part of Flipkart's day-to-day functioning has been handled by Kalyan Krishnamurthy, Flipkart's CEO, seconded by backer Tiger Global. Binny Bansal is the group CEO. But the exit seems likely. As one expert said, speaking about the deal, when a large international investor buys out a large stake, things change in terms of strategy and control. As a co-founder, one envisions running of the company in a certain manner. You cannot have two visionaries. Unquote.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Billion Dollar Babies Payout. The Flipkart Story. A Money Control exclusive.
Let's leave the last word to the super successful boys next door themselves. Sachin Bansal had said a few years ago, and we quote him, "History will remember us for two things. To consumers, Flipkart will be remembered as the company that created Indian e-commerce, that brought to the average Indian's doorstep a wide range of affordable, quality products. The other is Flipkart's contribution in creating the startup ecosystem in India. Hundreds of startups focused on solving for India have been inspired by Flipkart to create products that improve people's lives. Flipkart has instilled confidence in budding entrepreneurs that world-class tech product companies can be built in India as well. These, I think, are our greatest achievements." Unquote. It's hard to disagree.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.